Hey friend, you're listening to Truth Talks with Tara, a podcast dedicated to helping you know, love, and live God's Word. I'm your host, Tara, and I am so glad that you're here. Each week, we'll dive into scripture together. We'll answer questions we all have about the Bible and about how to live for God, as well as learn from some of my amazing friends and guests. If you want to see how God's Word can truly change your everyday life, this show is for you. My prayer is that we would all grow in our knowledge of God so that we can live boldly for Him. So, what do you say? Let's get into it. What's good, sweet friends? Welcome back to Truth Talks with Tara. It is your friend and host, Tara, and I'm so excited to be sitting down with you or hanging out with you today on this Tuesday or whenever you're listening to this episode. I'm coming to you from vacation in California to record this intro. Today's episode, I'm super excited to share some Bible study tips and how to really stand on the promises of God and understand it in context, create more of a routine and discipline in your life. But I forgot to record an intro, so I'm doing this from a room in our Airbnb in California, but I just had to share this episode with you today. I don't think there's one person in this world that feels like they have everything figured out when it comes to their Bible study routine, when they have the perfect discipline where they just have everything figured out. I know that for me in this season of motherhood, especially, that I'm having to figure out what it means to spend time with God and the Word consistently and how to really dive in without it being overwhelming. And so wherever you find yourself in this season, I wanted to share this episode for you today. The fun thing about this episode is that it's actually an excerpt from the audiobook of my newest book, Surrender Your Story, Ditch the Myth of Control, and Discover Freedom in Trusting God. So that audio is going to be fabulous because it was recorded in a studio. So if you hear weird things in this intro, again, it's because I'm outside of my office and studio. But this is a section from chapter 9 called Standing on the Promises of God. And maybe you're wondering, why would you include a chapter on Bible study and context in a book on surrender? Here's the thing about this chapter. The reason why I felt so strongly and the Lord prompted me so deeply to include this chapter is because when we talk about surrender and trust, it's only things that we can do, number one, through the power of the Spirit, and number two, through the knowledge that the Bible brings us every single day. And so knowing God's Word and how to read it and how to understand it is so integral. So within chapter 9, this is just a snippet today from the audiobook, but within chapter 9, there is so much to get you started in Bible study, because when we do know God's Word, we're going to be able to know His promises and then trust His promises, and then surrender our lives to a God who loves us. Today, again, is coming from chapter 9. If you loved this episode, you can get the full book. It's available out in the world. You can find it anywhere books are sold. Or if you love listening to this episode, it's also on Audible. So without further ado, here is a short snippet of chapter 9 from Surrender Your Story, the audiobook. Focus on consistency and repetition. We all know someone who has read the Bible from cover to cover multiple times. Have you ever heard someone, whether in real life or maybe on social media, mention that they've just finished reading the whole Bible again? I used to be irritated by those people, but as time has passed and as God has softened my heart, I've started to long for that same accomplishment. Not to be performative or to show off to my friends, but to say that I have hidden God's entire word in my heart. And the best way to get God's word in my heart is to read it often and repeatedly. It never ceases to amaze me that God's word was written thousands of years ago, and yet it remains true. It holds the same life-changing power and insights that it had in the beginning, and it will never stop. Unlike some books, the Bible will never go out of style. The layers of meaning and the depth of truth it contains ensures that we can still find new, amazing truths, even in familiar passages we've read like 100 times. Here are a few suggestions to help you create a discipline of reading the Bible every day. Number one, no cherry picking. Read entire books of the Bible at a time, starting at the beginning. There are so many benefits to not skipping around the Bible and plucking out random verses. The value of reading entire books instead of cherry picking is you'll see the overarching story of each book. Things remain in context. Think about it like this. When you sit down to watch a movie, you don't typically watch random snippets skipping from one scene to another. You watch it from the beginning to the end. The same applies to the books of the Bible. Each individual book of the Bible and how each book fits with the rest of Scripture starts making sense when you prioritize context. My favorite method is to start at the first chapter, read one chapter a day, repeat it until I finish the book, and then move on to the next book of the Bible. Number two, change up your translation. Reading the Bible in different translations keeps you from becoming overly familiar or bored with it. Different translations have different strengths, but I love challenging my brain to see familiar passages in a new light, thanks to the way different translations approach the biblical languages. Try exploring some of my personal favorite translations, such as the ESV, NASB, NLT, or CSB. Number three, try listening. Read it out loud, get an audio Bible, or use an audio Bible app. Did you know that many generations of believers experience the scriptures primarily through hearing them read aloud? That alone is a great reason to give it a try. There's something about hearing the words read aloud that can make the concepts and ideas land on my heart in a new way. Plus, excuses that we're too busy to sit down and open our Bible fade away when we realize we could listen to an audio Bible while taking care of chores, driving to work, or even running errands.
I am not kidding you when I say that going to the grocery store with my toddler is a sight. Usually I'm in sweatpants, my hair is up in a claw clip, and I'm trying to make sure my son doesn't pull things off of the shelves. Yes, even when he's in a shopping cart. Then we spend so much time reading labels, walking through the store, sometimes walking around and around the store, just trying to get our groceries and save a buck. If you see me in the grocery store, no, you haven't. Now, don't get me wrong. Grocery shopping for me and my family is a blessing, and I don't want to take it for granted, but I surely don't want to make it harder and more stressful. I want to make it more intentional. Thrive Market has been our family's favorite app and online store over the last few months. This is why. They cut the fluff, and it helps me double down on what's really important on my grocery list. We love Thrive Market for healthy snacks because those are hard to find these days, such as Annie's Cheddar Bunnies, Chomp's Meat Sticks, and Yum Earth. They're amazing for pantry staples, baby products, and even cleaning supplies too. Plus, Thrive is on the ball for you, friend. They only allow trusted top quality ingredients and restrict 1,000 plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors and high fructose corn syrup. You can have peace of mind with them. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/truthtalks for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/truthtalks. thrivemarket.com/truthtalks. Visit drinkag1.com/truthtalks to get a free one-year supply of their vitamin D3 K2 drops and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. If you've ever wondered if AG1 is overhyped, listen up. 5 months ago, almost 6 months ago, I took my very first sip. Why? Well, I truly wanted a one-stop shop for supplements, vitamins, and nutrients. My cupboards were seriously overflowing and so disorganized with dozens of bottles of vitamins and all the things to take, which overwhelmed me and in turn made me not want to keep up with this habit, although I needed it. Turns out AG1 isn't overhyped in my eyes. Within literally 2 weeks of taking it every single day, I noticed it support my daily vitamin, minerals, pre and probiotic intake. I also felt less bloated throughout my cycle, which has been a problem, and more mentally clear from its adaptogens and less stress because it's so powerfully simple. One scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. I take it with some ice cubes every morning before I eat breakfast, and I seriously can't lie, I have gotten used to the taste and I love it. Friend, I know that I preach all the time about spiritual health here, but I want to encourage you to not neglect your mental or physical health either. You are a whole person. So AG1 is a supplement that I truly trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why I'm so excited to welcome them as a partner. If you want to take ownership of your health today, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 drops and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/truthtalks. That's drinkag1.com/truthtalks. Check it out now.
Slow it down. There's value in reading lots of scripture content in quick succession. Some parts of the Bible, especially the stories, can be read quickly, moving from plot point to plot point. But that's not the only approach you should take. Focus on slowing down while you read. Be intentional about thoughtfully soaking up every word, every name mentioned, every promise given. As you read, ask the obvious questions that we often forget, like, who? Who are the people or the characters in the text? What is said about them? How are they described? What do they do? Or what? What is happening in the text? What is the point or main message? Where? Where is this taking place? Where is the writer? Why might the location be important? When? Think about time. When do the events in this passage take place? When is the writer writing this? Sometimes the chronology provides additional context that helps us understand what's going on in the text and how to apply it to our lives today. And why? Why was this passage included in Scripture? Why did the author include certain surprising details? Read with a prayerful heart. It's easy to think of Bible reading and prayer as two standalone things. However, they are vitally connected. Prayer serves so many purposes in our lives. But when it comes to Bible study, it is especially important when we don't have any desire or motivation to read God's word, but want to feel motivated, or are stuck or confused by a passage and want to understand it. Some simple ways to read prayerfully are to begin, continue, and end your Bible time with prayer. Begin by asking God to help you read, understand, and apply His truth as it's intended. If you get stuck, confused, or even bored during your study, stop and ask the Spirit for His help. Pray when you close your Bible and thank God for your special time with Him in the Word. Another way to read prayerfully is to turn Scripture into prayers. For example, using literal songs of praise and prayer from the Psalms as basis for your own prayers to God. From confusion to confidence. We all want to clear the fog when it comes to Bible reading, don't we? Interpreting and understanding Scripture is how we do that. The goal is to move from a place of confusion to clarity, and from clarity to confidence. Understanding Scripture may be the biggest things that we as Christians struggle with when it comes to Bible study. But let me encourage you. God's Word is for us. God's Word isn't taunting us or playing an elusive game of hide and seek that we could never win. We can do this with His help. The world may say that truth is subjective and changeable, but that's not the case with God's Word. Here are some keys for understanding what the Bible is really saying. If we understand what it meant, meaning what the author intended, and how the original audience understood what they were reading or hearing, we'll be better equipped to understand what the Bible means for us today and how to apply it to our lives. Understand biblical genres. There's a big difference between a book about motherhood and breastfeeding and a book about United States history. Those books simply cannot be read or approached in the same way because they aren't the same genre. The same goes for our approach to God's Word. Even though the Bible is a unified whole, there are many different genres or categories of books that make up the Bible. Be on the lookout for genres like exposition, narratives, parables, poetry, wisdom literature, and prophecy. Without knowing the genre, there's a good chance you'll misunderstand something about what you're reading. For example, if you read a wisdom book like Proverbs, thinking it's a prophetic book, you'll be sorely confused. One of my favorite books that has helped me define biblical genres is Basic Bible Interpretation by Roy B. Zuck. understand context. It said context is key, and I could not agree more. Prioritizing context helps us honor God's word, understand it, and be better stewards of it in our own lives and as we teach others. To understand the context, look at each verse in the context of the chapter and think about the chapter in the context of the entire book as opposed to cherry picking. Think of it as if you're a photographer using a telescope, wide angle lens instead of a narrow one. It's great to focus close up on the detail, but there's also value in pulling back and literally seeing the big picture. Here are a few kinds of context to be on the lookout for in your study. Number one, literary context. Think of the words before and after when it comes to literary context. Consider and study the chapters, paragraphs, and sections before and after each verse. This helps you see the whole picture when you read a section in its entirety. Number two, historical context. Many people muddle a passage's meaning because they don't consider when it was written or the situation of either the author or the intended audience. Many of the passages in the Bible aren't directly about us. For example, huge sections of the Old Testament are primarily about God's relationship with a particular nation or even a specific generation. These passages can, yes, be encouraging to us or provide us with important lessons, but before trying to decipher their meaning for us today, we need to have a clear sense of the original historical context. Side note, a study Bible or commentary will be your best friend in this endeavor. Number three, cultural and geographical context. This goes hand in hand with historical context. Get to know the people, who they were, and what their day-to-day lives looked like, and where they lived. Principles and concepts found in a passage of scripture will make more sense when we know who it is being written to or who it was spoken about. For example, it's important for us to know that Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 and 2 Corinthians. One of the main messages we read about in 1 Corinthians has to do with sexual immorality. That focus makes sense given the fact that the people of Corinth at that time were especially exposed to the influence of pagan culture and idol worship, and as a result, they were struggling to live purely. Can you see why this is so important? Knowing the culture and the day-to-day lives of biblical characters is key to unlocking your understanding of why the book was written. And number four, theological context. This asks the question, what did this author know about God? We know that the Bible has not always been available to us as a finished copy, and here's why that matters. Earlier generations weren't aware of later developments in God's relationship with his people. When you're reading about Abraham, it's important to remember that he lived before God gave Moses the law and before God's covenant with David. In fact, Abraham didn't have a Bible. The first books of the Bible weren't written until much later. Abraham's understanding of God was based on a close personal relationship. But while reading about Abraham, it's useful for us to keep in mind that at the time, God's revelation of himself to humanity was in its very early stages. This is called progressive revelation. Theological context reminds us to look at where humanity was in God's grand redemptive story when a particular book was written. Knowing it and living it. Let's talk about application. It's often the most exciting part for us when we read an Instagram devotional or blog post or even listen to a sermon. It's exciting because, well, it gives us something to do. But here's the key. We can't properly apply God's word or see true life transformation if we don't utilize the first two components we talked about, reading and interpreting. When we have become excellent readers of God's word and understand God's word in context, again, not just on the surface, then we can properly apply the truths and live them out rightly. Application is the culmination, the grand finale, you could say, of all the steps. James 1:22 challenges us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. If we are great readers and great interpreters, but crummy appliers, then we've missed the point. God wants us not only to dig deep into the Bible's concepts, but to be changed by them. To some, that may sound scary. Change is uncomfortable. But the good news in Christ is that any change God has for us in His Word is always good for us. He loves us too much to let us stay the same. He desires us to be sanctified, to keep reaching new heights of glory. And that doesn't stop with you and your own heart. God's plan to change the world involves transforming individual hearts, and that adds up over time. When you read and apply God's word, you're taking part in the much bigger story of God's redemptive purposes for the world. The transforming power of God's word. Reading God's word transforms our lives and then transforms others' lives and then transforms the world. Think of applying scripture in terms of these questions. How can we take what we just read and let it change who we are for the better? Are we convicted, convinced, and then changed? Here are four possible steps for applying God's word. Know what you're reading. Have firsthand, up close, and personal knowledge of what you're reading. We've learned that comes from being a better reader and interpreter. In the same vein, know yourself. Be realistic with your weaknesses, strengths, and sins. If we don't see our sin and the areas in which we need to grow, then we won't change. Ask God to reveal who you are, even if it's not pretty. He won't shame you for your sin. He knows you better than you even know yourself, and what He wants to do with that is make you even more like Him. What a win. And next, compare. Now, I'm not saying to unhealthily compare yourself to other people, okay? What I mean by compare is to relate the truth of the Bible to ourselves, our lives, and our experiences. There is nothing in our lives, nothing we could think of, that God's word does not give wisdom to. Obviously, we should keep context in mind and not apply things to ourselves that were only meant for a particular person or culture described in the Bible. But remember, the Bible is not some ambiguous, distant book that doesn't have power for our lives. Jesus Christ wants to renew every area of who we are with His word. Make it personal. And next, meditate. God encourages us to let the truth of His word take root in our lives, and meditation is a key strategy for making that happen. Now, some forms of meditation are not compatible with the Christian worldview. But for Christians, scriptural meditation means reflecting on, dwelling on, or contemplating what God's word says. David told us to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, weaving scripture into the fabric of our everyday lives, saturating our every moment with what God's word says. The more we meditate on scripture, the more it becomes part of who we are, enabling us to live according to God's wisdom rather than our own. And last, practice, practice, practice. Practice makes perfect, or in this case, practice aids in sanctification. The goal of reading our Bible is to be changed and transformed, which requires practicing and putting into action what we read. This looks like taking what we've read in the Bible and asking the Lord if there's an area in our lives that needs this truth. It's taking God's commands and instructions and obeying them. If obedience to His word, especially the hard, countercultural things, sounds like an impossible task, let me tell you this. When you've cultivated a genuine love for God and desire for His word, obedience will follow. Now, hey, I'm not saying it'll be easy, but obedience flows from a heart that loves God and understands He asks us to do things for our betterment and His glory. I hope you enjoyed the sneak peek of Chapter 9 from Surrender Your Story and found even just one nugget to walk away with that will help you and aid you in your Bible study time, in your time with God spent in the Word today, tomorrow, and the rest of your days. Again, if you're interested in picking up a copy of the entire book and hearing more about this in Chapter 9 and not just a snippet today on the show, you can find Surrender Your Story anywhere books are sold. I'm so thankful for the lives already changed by God's truth, and it's to His glory alone that it's happening through this book. I've had so many incredible conversations with you on Instagram, via email, everywhere, just hearing what God is already teaching you. And I gotta say, it's one of the most incredibly humbling things in the world. So thank you for reading, thank you for sharing, and thank you for reviewing and rating on Amazon. Here's the thing about leaving ratings and reviews. So honestly, I think sometimes we look at reviews and we think, I only review things when there's a negative experience. But a positive, powerful review is huge and so impactful because your words deeply and truly matter and they encourage so many more people than you realize. So leaving a rating and review is so impactful on Amazon because the more reviews we have, the higher Amazon prioritizes Surrender Your Story in the algorithm and therefore gets it into the hands, into the eyes of more people who are looking for books to encourage them in their faith with God. I'm so grateful for everything that you do and the ways you show up and the fact that we can do this together through this podcast, through online. I love getting to walk through life and learn to surrender and trust God together because Lord knows I don't have it figured out, but I'm so thankful that we have an incredible guide and an incredible Father in Him to learn from. So I love you. Thank you for listening to today's episode, as different as it was today with a different setting. But I love you again. Have an incredible day, and I will see you next week on Truth Talks with Tara.